Item 168, please.
Expand Portland Parks and Recreation smoke and tobacco-free policy to all city parks, natural areas, recreation areas, and any other places where Portland Parks and Recreation park rules apply.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. It is my honor to introduce this ordinance today. Our parks help build community, they promote health and wellness, and they increase the livability of our city. And I believe that having a tobacco-free environment in parks would be a good thing for Portland. Tobacco-related diseases remain one of the leading causes of preventable death in Oregon, and this policy would support tobacco control efforts currently taking place and across the United States, supporting people who are trying to quit and discouraging others from picking up a harmful habit, particularly children. Our parks are places where everybody should be welcome, and we already ban alcohol use in parks. Expanding the tobacco ban would be consistent with a place for everybody to enjoy. Previous parks commissions, starting with Commissioner Saltzman, have banned smoking in some Portland parks, including Pioneer Courthouse Square, around playgrounds and picnic areas. Commissioner Fish expanded the ban to Director Park and the North Park blocks, which was under my jurisdiction. So we've got this mismatch of places where you're allowed to smoke in parks and places where you're not allowed to smoke. So if I was to state it quite succinctly, that the problems we are trying to solve are: parks are supposed to be places that are healthy. Healthy parks, healthy Portland, healthy Portlanders. Having the inconsistent rules is a problem. And finally, the passage of the recreational marijuana means that if we allow smoking in parks, marijuana smoking under the ballot measure passed last November is only to be allowed inside personal residences. You're not allowed to smoke marijuana in parks the way you currently are allowed to smoke cigarette products in parks. And so I don't want anybody to have to be guessing what people are smoking. And I think that this is a sensible policy which sets the rules very clearly. And that also answers the question of why now. This ban, if adopted by the council, would go into effect at the same time that marijuana would become legal for recreational use in Oregon. I'm very grateful to the Parks Board, who did the bulk of the work on looking into this policy, and you're going to be hearing from some of them later. First, we have Parks Director Mike Abate and Deputy Director Warren Jimenez, who are going to tell you more about the proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of Council, Mike Abate, Parks Director. First of all, I just want to tell you what our current policy is related to smoking. Current code prohibits smoking in all parks within 25 feet of children's play areas and in other prohibited areas. And it's completely prohibited in certain parks, such as Pioneer Square and Director Park. So what we're talking about is proposing some changes to that policy. This ordinance would amend the code to extend the smoking ban to all parks, natural areas, recreation facilities, and park maintenance facilities. It would extend the ban to all events on Portland parks and recreation properties with a provision for golf tournaments, an exception provision for golf tournaments. And it would expand the list of prohibited products.
And if I might just add, it's that the golf tournaments could apply for a permit to be able to use tobacco products in the same way that other events can apply for an alcohol permit.
Right, that's correct. There is a provision that would allow designated smoking areas for employees who do not have access to non-parks property as well. So in recognition of the fact that there are traditional ceremonies that involve tobacco, there's also an exception provision that would allow the use of tobacco in these instances. Now, enforcement. While any violation of a city code is a misdemeanor which could lead to a citation, the primary method of enforcement for this policy will be education. Patrons who refuse to comply with a policy may be subject to a park's exclusion. But the purpose of this policy is not to ostracize people who smoke or use tobacco. In addition to educating the public about the policy, raising awareness about smoking and tobacco cessation programs will be a big focus. And we'll do this with the help of Multnomah County and other agencies as well. So a little bit about the reasons. As the commissioner mentioned, our motto is Healthy Parks, Healthy Portland. And so this ordinance would align our practices with that focus. It also contributes to our commitment to providing healthy and safe environments for Portlanders and visitors, especially for children and youth. And you'll hear from some of them this afternoon. Smoke-free environments have been shown to motivate smokers to quit at higher rates than environments that allow smoking. And nearly 9 of 10 smokers begin before the age of 18. I was one of those, as a matter of fact, smoker for 5 years. The reasons for expanding smoke-free parks, they get practical as well. Cigarettes have started fires at Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge, Springwater Corridor Trail, and Markham Nature Park. Our most common source of litter in our parks is cigarette butts, and they don't biodegrade quickly or easily. They're poisonous to animals and children, and they release toxins into our waterways. So why now? Well, tobacco-related disease is still the leading cause of preventable death in Oregon. It costs Multnomah County $223 million each year in medical care. The city of Portland, if you choose to approve this ordinance, would join 64 other cities, counties, and jurisdictions across the state that have established smoke-free park policies, and over 1,000 municipalities nationwide, including Boston, Chicago, and Los Angeles. So as the commissioner mentioned, the Portland Parks Board has researched smoke and tobacco-free parks and put forward recommendations. And in early January or mid-January, an email was sent out to approximately 44,000 subscribers to our Portland Parks email list. It included links to the draft ordinance, the FAQs. It asked for feedback by the end of the month. We received 341 comments on this. The vast majority of the comments were favorable about this ordinance. So I want to thank you, and I want to also highlight especially the work of Assistant Director Jimenez, Cynthia Castro, Senior Administrative Specialist, and our Parks Board, who has been a terrific partner in this effort. Thank you. Thank you.
How many acres, parks, natural areas?
About 11,500.
How many of those acres are considered high pedestrian usage?
High pedestrian usage, Forest Park.
High pedestrian density, let's say that.
High pedestrian density.
Near Courthouse Square.
Yeah. There aren't that many that would be as dense as that of the 11,000 acres, maybe 25 acres, but I'm just hazarding a guess at like the public plazas that hold big events. But in the summertime, you know, we turn many of our parks into big venues with movies and concerts and hundreds and sometimes thousands of people in place.
And do you have the authority to make those events smoke-free?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Yep. So 11,000 acres is a lot of acres. And I guess, is there a plan B that looks at something less than a full ban and says, use existing authority to ban smoking in high population density parks?
That's part of the reason that we're putting forward the policy, is that the current sometimes on, sometimes not, some parks are covered, some parks are not, some parts of parks are covered, has been confusing, and it's, in my opinion, simpler to have an overall ban. Besides which, as Director Abate pointed out, we've had fires in low traffic areas because of discarded cigarettes.
But what about enforcement? I mean, I guess what strikes me most about this is it's unenforceable. And you can talk about, well, we're only going to educate people, but sooner or later you got to start writing tickets. Sooner or later you're going to come to us and you're going to ask for more park rangers because people are getting into conflicts with one another, all sorts of things. So are you committing to us not to ask for any budgetary resources to increase park ranger staffing to enforce this?
Yes.
Now and forever?
Yes. We are asking for more funding for park rangers, but not for this.
What about enforceability? And I'm asking the Parks Director.
Commissioner, I'll tell you that the single greatest force for enforcement is peer pressure and making it clear to the public that smoking is not allowed. sets a very clear standard and a very clear bar. We rely on the goodwill of the vast majority of our park users. And once this gets publicized and we spend the time educating folks, I've got great confidence that this is one of those things that self-enforcement will take care of much of the problem.
And Commissioner, I would also say that it's true when you look at best practices and look at the other jurisdictions that, you know, typically it is about education and that social pressure that helps with this issue.
Okay. Other questions for staff?
Yes. Director Abate, I wanted to raise some questions and concerns that I have told Commissioner Fritz about earlier. I thoroughly agree with the goal of reducing smoking and making parks more pleasant for people who don't like being around cigarette smoke. I've had the experience myself having to move around from place to place in a park to avoid smoke. But I am worried a bit about some potential unintended consequences. Laura Hansen in my office was at the University of Oregon when they adopted a no-smoking policy on university grounds. What they found was that smokers would congregate in the right-of-way immediately adjoining university property. Like for those of you who know the U of O campus, on a median strip on Agate Street that was outside student housing and around the Duck Store on 13th Avenue. So it created unfortunate environments for people in those places. And perhaps partly because I'm transportation commissioner, I worry about displacing smokers to like crowds of smokers in the right of way around parks. Another concern I have is that people who smoke are unhealthy enough already, and I am a little worried about the prospect that they would just completely avoid parks because they can't smoke there. And I'd like to see them getting some exercise, even if they are ruining their health by smoking. And I realize that there would be practical problems with this, but ideally what I'd like to see, at least in larger parks where you could really segregate people, is to have designated smoking areas and say it's illegal to smoke, except here you can. And that way the people that don't want to be around smoke can avoid them. And Commissioner Fritz has already told me that that's wildly impractical, but I wish that it weren't, and I just want your thoughts on that.
Well, Commissioner, a couple points. I think, you know, we have 220 parks and natural areas, and identifying specific locations where you could smoke really, in my estimation, actually makes it much, much more complicated, because then you have areas that then you have to patrol that specific area, and you still have to tell folks that what they need to do is move to a particular site. That there would probably be some capital costs with how do you identify that? Do you have to create fencing, or how do you do that in a huge variety of different kinds of parks and places? I also think that, Commissioner, to your first point, I think it is true that we want people to enjoy our parks, we want everyone to come and enjoy time spent outdoors. If you are a smoker, we are not asking you to stop smoking. We are asking you, for the time that you're spending in that park, don't smoke while you're there. Most visits to parks are not a 3 or 4 hour visit. They're an hour or so. And I believe that this is part of a bigger system where really our entire system is trying to promote a healthy, active lifestyle. And so that'd be my response.
And I'm making this up, but can you imagine having a system where smoking is banned in parks, but if a critical mass of smokers in the area of a park came forward with a petition saying, we want to use the park and we'll abide by the rules, but we'd like you to carve out a place for us to smoke? I would imagine that might not happen all that often, and it would at least give people the option of like sort of carving out for themselves a place to smoke. Does that sound wildly impractical?
Well, if it were a permitted event, and we do a lot of permits with, for example, as the commissioner mentioned, we do not allow alcohol, but we create a permitted provision where you can, under certain circumstances, have alcohol. If that's what the council wanted us to do, is to create something in a permitting system that allowed that, we could do that. This right now, the ordinance as it's currently written would not allow that.
Final question I have to ask, why the semi-exception for golf events?
It's for golf tournaments, And I think this is a big question for us as a park system, is we have 5 golf courses and we have a racetrack. And so there was a lot, there's been a lot of research and deliberation on what the impact of no smoking might do to those which receive no general fund. They're completely self-supporting. So golf tournaments are a big source of revenue. And so, as the commissioner mentioned, they could petition for a permit requirement that would allow smoking under certain conditions. That would probably be, the conditions would be things like not around the parking lot, not around the clubhouse, out on the holes, perhaps. But one of the things we don't want to do is to create a situation that a recreation opportunity that's self-funded, completely self-funded, doesn't go under because we lose, 20% of our tournaments. But we've also talked to many other golf systems in the country, and after an initial adjustment period, that's why we're only putting it to tournaments, not for normal play. We found that that the golf systems haven't suffered over time.
The initial recommendation from the Parks Board was to phase in a complete ban on golf courses. In discussions with the Golf Advisory Committee, we decided on this compromise to allow tournaments to apply for a permit if they wanted to do so.
Yeah, and I would also add, is in addition to the golf being an enterprise fund, it also works in a competitive market. That was certainly one of the reasons behind making the distinction in that there are other golf courses that do allow smoking.
So I'm not sure if I followed you on the sort of the festival scenario. Let's say, just thinking this through, given the conversation, so let's say President Obama is successful in normalizing relations with Cuba and somebody wants to put on a Cuban cigar and Portland beer festival. Would that not be allowable? Would we have to make a specific exception?
I believe you'd have to make an exception.
Yeah. By ordinance?
Yeah, currently as the ordinance exists, they wouldn't allow it.
All right. More likely a Cuban rum and Portland Beer Festival, but I digress. But I'm serious. I mean, just want to understand how that would work.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So our next panel, Julie Viglin from the Portland Parks Board, Tricia Tillman from Multnomah County Health Department, and they'll be followed by some students. So I'll call the next. That's the first two-person panel.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Honorable Mayor and City Council members, we really appreciate
the name and record, Julie. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That was the next sentence, but it's Julie Bigland. I thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important issue today on behalf of the Parks Board. And yes, I am Julie Bigland, and I am a past board member, or a current board member, and a past board chair. Our Parks Board is a 15-person group appointed by you, the City Council, to advise Portland Parks and Recreation on policy. We proudly represent the diversity of Portland, both in geography and in a wide range of racial, ethnic, and social economic backgrounds. At our December meeting, the Portland Parks Board unanimously recommended that the City of Portland expand its existing park smoking policies. I want to extend the Parks Board appreciation to Commissioner Amanda Fritz for her enthusiasm and her eagerness to get this on the docket. Along with several other members, I have served on a Parks Board committee for the past 2 years, and we've researched this idea of transitioning all of our parks, natural areas, and recreation areas to be smoke-free. We have researched communities around Oregon and around the country who've already implemented smoke-free policies. We often pride ourselves on Portland's leadership in many significant policy areas that make this city a better place to live. On the issue of smoking in parks, we need to catch up to 64 other cities and counties around Oregon who are ahead of us in this effort, all state of Oregon parks, all metro parks, and communities as small as Reedsport and as big as Hillsboro have gone smoke-free. Around the country, as already mentioned, New York, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, they've all done the same. Looking at this issue, our committee learned that currently, and to, as Amanda Fritz said, Director Park, Pioneer Courthouse Square, and the portion south of park blocks that fall on Portland State University property are smoke-free. Further, smoking is prohibited within 25 feet of any play area structure, picnic table, or children play area. Yet, it is currently legal to smoke at crowded park events or while hiking along well-used trails. The Parks Board recommends that all parks and recreation be smoke-free. This policy would eliminate the guesswork regarding the rules for the park you are in. Is it a smoke-free park? Do you need to measure the number of feet you are from a play structure or play area? All would know that in Portland Park or natural areas, there is no smoking. This move is consistent, as Director Abate said, with Portland Parks and Recreation mission, which is Healthy Parks, Healthy Portland. It would reduce exposure of Portland residents and visitors, especially children and youth, to smoking and tobacco use to protect their health and discourage them from starting the habit that is difficult to quit. Often people are at a park with dozens, if not hundreds, of other visitors at events, on a trail or near a playground where secondhand smoke, a well-documented health hazard, is an issue. Finally, another benefit of this proposal is to protect Portland parks and natural areas from potential risk of fires and the damage caused by littering of cigarette butts and other tobacco-related waste. In Portland, littered cigarette butts have been the causes of fires of multiple sites, including, as mentioned earlier, Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge, Markham Nature Park, and Springwater Corridor Trail. Additionally, people may not realize that cigarette butts do not biodegrade, and they leach toxic chemicals into our waterways. The Portland Parks Board urges you to vote yes next week to expand the Portland smoke-free policy and establish that all city parks, recreation areas, and natural areas will be smoke-free. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, and commissioners. My name is Tricia Tillman. I've been working in public health for over 20 years. I am a former member of the Parks Board and am here today as the Public Health Director for Multnomah County Health Department. The Health Department supports the Portland Parks recommendations to expand its current tobacco policy for all city parks and natural areas. While only 15% of Multnomah County residents smoke, tobacco use is the leading cause of preventable death and disease in Oregon, which includes cancer, stroke, heart, and lung diseases. In Multnomah County alone, almost 1,200 people die yearly from tobacco, and approximately 23,000 people suffer from a serious tobacco-related illness. The health inequities associated with tobacco use are staggering, with close to 30% of African American adults and over 40% of American Indian, Alaska Native adults in Multnomah County identifying as current smokers. These same communities shoulder a disproportionately large burden of tobacco-related illnesses. The Health Department has been working to reduce the burden of tobacco use and prevent youth from smoking. One strategy with demonstrated success is expanding smoke-free environments. Some examples, which have been mentioned, include the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act, Metro's regional smoke-free policy, which includes the zoo, regional parks, golf courses, and natural areas, and the Portland Timbers' assurance that their fans and athletes enjoy a smoke-free Providence Park. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends these policies to ensure that smoking is not the norm in our society, and this is especially important for our children. Those who become ill from even the slightest exposure to tobacco smoke, and individuals who have struggled to quit and stay quit. Multnomah County Health Department is pleased to see all tobacco products called out in the policy, including electronic vaping devices and smokeless products. Tobacco program staff have been working with the Parks Bureau to support the development of this policy and are available to assist at your request with implementation. I'm confident that residents and visitors will benefit from this policy, including my own teenagers, who are part of the demographic targeted by the industry to become new users, and my mother, who quit smoking about 30 years ago but has been battling lung cancer for the past 5 years. I appreciate your leadership with this very important issue, as well as the invitation to speak here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you both.
Thank you. And our last panel, students from the Southwest Charter School, Coulter Decker and Henry O'Scanlan Miller, and students from Madison High School, Lindsay Ramirez and Winnie Lau from Rebels Without a Cause.
Welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm Coulter Decker. I'm an eighth grader at Southwest Charter School and live in Southeast Portland.
And I'm Henry O'Scanlan Miller, an eighth grader at Southwest Charter School. I live in Northeast Portland.
As a class, we voted and chose secondhand smoke in public parks as our project for Project Citizen from a pool of community issues.
We chose this for our project because it is an important and costly health issue. People can't choose whether or not they're affected, but they're exposed to smoke if they're in a public park with smokers.
We have received letters of support from the American Cancer Society, the American Heart and Stroke Association, and the American Lung Association.
We also started an online petition and would like to share with you some of the many comments in support of our issue.
Barbara Anderson from Portland commented, "I spend a lot of time in our city parks. At times, the smoke pollution is so high I have to leave. Please ban smoking from our public places."
Jan Molinaro commented, "My husband and I moved to Portland for a healthy lifestyle and a clean city experience. Let's help our children have that experience also."
And Catherine Miller, "Secondhand smoke kills. I may have had to endure it as a child, but as an adult, I have the choice. Keep this poison away from me."
Niles Lehman says, "This is an absolutely critical thing to do for Portland if we want to call ourselves a livable and progressive city."
There are many more insightful comments, and I encourage you to read them when we give you a copy of the petition.
"Seeing people smoking desensitizes smoking and makes it seem more socially acceptable, leading to young people becoming addicted."
"We spent months researching the dangers of secondhand smoke to encourage you, the city council, to ban smoking in public parks. It is important to us that smoking is banned in public parks because we want to be able to go to parks without having to worry about the dangers of secondhand smoke."
"Portland is a leader in promoting healthy living, and banning smoking in public parks is the next step in securing a safe and healthy environment for the citizens of Portland."
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both. Thank you.
Thanks to your whole class who did a presentation for me about a year ago and was part of the impetus for us moving forward on this. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Hello, my name is Lindsay Ramirez, and I'm a junior at Madison High School, and I'm a rebel. The Rebels for a Cause is a student-led group made up of students from across the Tri-County area. Our mission is to influence through education and inspire through example to promote a tobacco-free world. One of the things that we do is we talk to middle school and high school students and explain to them the misconceptions they may have about tobacco. We also hold events around our schools and the neighborhood to bring awareness to our community about the dangers of tobacco use. We are here speaking to you about why the ordinance should be passed, because as high school students and as rebels, your decision will impact our future. Allowing smoking affects me because right next to Madison is Glen Haven Park. It's a nice park with tennis courts, a tennis court, athletic fields, and a skate park, but unfortunately, it gives Madison a bad reputation because it's a place where adults and students like to go smoke. Having the park so close to the school gives students a place to smoke that's off school grounds. That's not the only problem there. At Madison, the park is often used by sports teams to practice and to hold sporting events, and allowing people to smoke causes a disturbance. I remember playing tennis my freshman year and smelling the tobacco from the cigarettes. It was disgusting, and it was one of the reasons I didn't play the following year. And allowing people to smoke in the park not only endangers those in the park, but also the infant and toddlers at Madison's daycare program for teen parents. The children are regularly taken outside to play. Unfortunately, since the park is very close, they inhale a lot of fumes from cigarettes, and cigarette butts end up right in front of the little play area. I believe that passing this ordinance would make the park much safer and be better for the overall community. Not only would it make the area better, but it would also benefit the rebels. We use our voices because we want our experience regarding this issue to be heard, an issue in which many think we aren't affected by. By passing this ordinance, it will not only strengthen the message that the rebels are trying to spread, but it will also make our voices louder and stronger. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and share with you today.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Winnie, and I'm a Madison rebel. I came from a family of smokers, including my father, who began smoking as a teenager and still smokes today. Growing up, I saw firsthand what smoking can do to you. I have a little sister who currently attends Harrison Park Middle School and will eventually go to Madison. Like Madison, which is next to Glen Haven, her school is next to Harrison Park. As a 12-year-old, my sister is extremely impressionable. Seeing all the older students smoking may encourage her to smoke as well. She might even start to think that smoking is acceptable and cool. If Portland Parks ban the use of tobacco products, this will set an example for children, discouraging them and letting them know that there are consequences to smoking. This is why I joined Rebels. I wanted to ensure a safer environment for children like my sister and prevent them from going down the same path as my father. To go with our testimony, we brought an example of what Glen Haven Park looks like. Believe it or not, this is the amount of cigarette butts that we found within 30 minutes. This amount of litter might surprise you, but it definitely does not surprise me. This is what I see every single time when I step outside of my school, and it is not acceptable. Kick Butts Day is the national day of activism that empowers youth to stand out, speak up, and seize control against the big tobacco. We would like to invite all of you guys to join us on Wednesday, March 18th at Madison for Kick Butts Day from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you for allowing us to share our experiences and speak our mind.
So tell me, how about the name Rebels with a Cause? The Madison Senators, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're, again, the Rebels with a Cause is a program that's with health schools. If you're a part of the health, like a health program, like the health sciences program, you go to Madison or the two other schools, which is Schellingburg and Beaverton, you can join the club. And so it helps us like set up these events and just trying to help people that we know, like our friends or people that are going to be coming to high school, just get a view of like why smoking isn't something they should start, or because it is, again, dangerous for them and it's not helpful for anyone around you. I mean, secondhand smoke is also just as dangerous as smoking yourself, so it kind of benefits you and the people around you.
Thank you for your work. And could you just hold that canister up? How many people did it take to collect all of those cigarette butts?
It was the freshman class of health.
Wow. Thank you for bringing that. That's very graphic illustration of what the immensity of the problem is. Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much. Thanks for coming. Okay, any more invited testimony, Commissioner?
You.
Okay, then we'll open it up for public testimony from the sign-up sheet. So again, if you're here to testify on this item, welcome. We practice democracy in this room, so if you agree with someone, you can do as you've seen folks do, which is give them a thumbs up or a hand wave, but we like to let our fellow citizens have their say, so no matter what point of view, we want to be heard. We typically give people 3 minutes. You need only give your address, unless you're a lobbyist. And I'm sorry?
You said only your address.
Only your name, not your address. Sorry. we don't care about your address. If you're a lobbyist, actually, we need to know that and who you're representing, because that's what the city code requires that you disclose. If you're a citizen, you need to give us only your name. So welcome, and please, let's take testimony from the sheet.
Okay. We have 5 people signed up. The first 3, please come on up, are Lee Hill, Peter Garcia, and Joe Walsh.
I wondered why you were back in this room, Lee. Good to see
you. Hi there.
It's been a while.
Lee Hill, Southwest Portland. Longtime member of the golf committee, and also I now work at one of the golf courses part-time. I'm marshal, so I have a vested interest in this. I think I'm going to be one of the people expected to enforce this. And I'm a non-smoker, and I'm in agreement with this. I think it's expected. I saw it coming. My only concern, and again, this is more reflective of Redtail, I think, than the other courses, is we do have very little in the way of tournaments out there. I'm not disagreeing with Director Abate, but I don't think tournaments are as big a boon to our golf course income as he might think. They really don't mean that much. At Redtail, my concern is that we have a very large percentage of Asian, particularly Korean golfers. And for whatever cultural reasons, they are smokers. And I've done kind of an informal poll And they're pretty indignant about this. So I just hope there's follow through. Now, I will also tell you, I've done an informal poll of some of the people who run the golf courses, and they really don't seem to have any real intention of enforcing this. I know it doesn't go into effect until, what, July 1? Is that it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that we're prepared to see numbers drop, because I think that's going to be one of the initial results of this. I think some of the golfers, especially at Red Tail, are going to find other places to play. But I understand. Now, another thing that kind of confuses me, Commissioner Fritz, we've already banned alcohol on the golf courses. No, we haven't. We have alcohol on all the golf courses. We have it in the restaurants. We have beer, we have wine, and we have distilled spirits. And not only do we have them, we actually deliver them to the golfers while they're playing via beverage carts. So I'm not saying it's a hypocrisy, but I know we want to save the world from the ills of tobacco. But I've witnessed, as a marshal on the golf course, I don't really have a tough time with people smoking, but I've had a real tough time with people who are drunk. And we're part of the reason they get drunk, because we serve them alcohol out there.
I didn't know that. That'll be the next policy change.
Well,
come back next week.
So, yeah. And there's one other thing. It's a specific incident. I think you're aware of it. In August of 2013, the Oregon State University Rugby Club had a tournament at Heron Lakes, and they got inebriated. And we helped them get inebriated. And a woman who worked the beverage cart was sexually assaulted. It was a very serious matter. And I hope we come up with a better policy in the future than the one we had to address that, because the perpetrator was never brought to justice. The police and the criminal justice system were never involved. And now Kemper Sports Management, which manages that course, that's our agent at that golf course, is paying that woman a considerable sum of money. It was handled very poorly. And after that, it was our golf director's decision to give a no-bid contract to that same management group for the new Colwood course, even though they were a named defendant in a lawsuit. I hope we can come up with a policy that's better than that in the future for handling sexual assault, because, and that's directly responsible because of alcohol. I know I segued into that, but if you're concerned about tobacco, you should really be concerned about alcohol also.
Question for you, Lee. I'm not being a golfer, don't know this, but private courses, do they typically allow smoking or prohibit it? Are they all over the map on that subject?
Remember, with private courses, there's usually a much greater consensus to agree to the rules. And you have smoking in private courses, but it's done very discreetly. The other thing that's tough about this is cigars. I did a tournament for the Kaiser Doctors years ago at Pumpkin Ridge, and they were all smoking cigars. You know, it seems to be a thing you do in a celebratory golf tournament or whatnot. That's going to be tough also, because a lot of people like to have a cigar when they play golf. And they don't view that as a terrible health risk, although, you know, it is a health risk, too.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your volunteer service. I think you're next, sir. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Portland commissioners. It's an honor to be here. My name is Peter Garcia. I was born December 27, 1959 at St. Vincent Hospital in Portland. I graduated in 1978 from Park Rose High School. I'm 55 years old. I've lived here and worked my entire life. I've enjoyed, appreciated, played, worked, volunteered in our beautiful city of Portland parks for my entire life. If someone asked me how well I knew the parks, I guess I would say I'm an expert on the parks. I smoke cigars for 35 years for pleasure. I do not intend to quit. I enjoy a good cigar. I am healthy, very healthy. I am not a criminal. I do not litter. I respect the concern of others. In my 35 years of smoking cigars, I cannot remember even one time someone asking me to put it out or please move away. I have been told many times how nice it smells and have been thanked for asking people around me if it offends them if I light up one of my cigars. A great pleasure of mine is smoking my cigar, sitting at a Portland park, enjoying the beautiful day, whether it is spring, summer, fall, or winter. It doesn't matter. It is a favorite pastime of mine, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it for years and years, and I plan on continuing this wonderful joy in my life for many more years to come. It would be sad and awful if this suddenly was not available to me anymore. I am here before you four leaders of my city to express my disapproval of the proposed cigar smoking ban at my parks. Here are a couple of reasons I believe that we should vote against it. First of all, it's not right, it's not fair, it's mean, it's not Portland, it's cruel, it's wrong, and it's discrimination. It would be a nightmare for park rangers. How would they enforce it? They would constantly be confronting smokers, constantly. They would have confrontations all day long. It would be a nightmare for them. And plus, the parks go forever and ever. They can never cover it all. Unfortunately, our government has kicked cigar and cigarette smokers out of bars, apartments, parks, and many, many other places. Where do we go next? And it's very unfair to the poorest population. A friend of mine, Mr. Ted Johnson, worked 35 years hard work in Multnomah County. He retired. He ended up living at a subsidized living housing project on Northwest Park Avenue down here. And one of his few enjoyments, he's banned from smoking in his own apartment. One of his few enjoyments in his lonely life is to sit at the park bench in the North Parks and enjoy an afternoon sunshine with a cheap cigar and some coffee. Mr. Johnson is not a criminal. He doesn't drive. His mobility is limited. He minds his own business. He's worked hard and paid taxes over decades in Portland. He has very few friends. He is a kind, older Portland gentleman. He is not a criminal. Must I stop now?
Try to wrap up, but we'll give you some more time.
Please, you leaders of this wonderful city, please do not make him a criminal, because if he passes, this lonely old man will be a criminal. And there are hundreds of Mr. Ted Johnsons in Portland. Some of them, all they have is a day in the park to light up a cigarette and enjoy their life. A lot of lonely old people that don't have much enjoyment left in their life except the smoke, and they are not going to quit. They are not going to quit anytime now and anytime soon. I do not witness cigarette or cigar smoke interfering with park users. I'm in our parks all the time. We already have restrictions on smoking in parks. It works. We're responsible. We listen to it. We understand it. There are signs. Please don't take away what Portlanders have been doing for over 150 years. We've lost way too much freedom of choice in my adult life. Please, Mayor Hales, Commissioners, please do not make enjoying a fine cigar outdoors in a lovely city park a crime. It hurts no one. I'm a hard-working Portland citizen. I've lived here 55 years. I love Portland. I love cigars. I am not a criminal. Please do not make me one. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. 7 years ago, I lit out my last cigarette. I'm on oxygen, not because of smoking, but because I have asbestosis from the Navy and from the shipyards. One of the problems that we have here is we support the concept of what you're trying to do, but we oppose what we consider draconian ways you're going about it. First of all, we agree with Commissioner Salzman that it is unenforceable. You cannot do that. You have too many parks. You don't have enough park rangers, unless we're going to have a flood of people that will now be running around writing out tickets. And I know you're saying, okay, we're going to do education. You're making it a misdemeanor. Now, let me explain what a misdemeanor is for your viewers. And you have a lawyer up there. If I'm wrong, please correct me. You can spend a year in jail on a misdemeanor. You can go before a judge, and that judge can put you in jail for a year on a misdemeanor. So it's no minor stuff. Exclusion means exclusion for what? All the parks? So if somebody gets busted for smoking a cigarette, they're either going to get a huge fine or go before a judge and be excluded, or the park ranger is going to decide. There's nothing in the paperwork that says any of this. You also say in the paperwork it's not going to cost anything because you're going to do it within the system. Let me tell you something about mootness, because I'm getting to be an expert on this. If you exclude somebody from the parks, they do have a right to appeal. And in the park regulations, it says you cannot just say the case is moot. It will go on in a hearing officer with witnesses, and the city will be represented, and the guy will be represented, or the woman, whoever gets the ticket or the exclusion. It's a very complicated process, and I know it personally. So what you're doing is zealotism. That's what you're doing. And I say this directly to you, Commissioner Fritz, because I know you want to do the right thing. This is being a zealot. And as far as those cigarettes that you saw today, I was standing by a TriMet station today on the way here, and one of the things that I noticed was on the tracks, there are huge amounts of cigarettes. It's a $200 fine if you get caught smoking on a TriMet station. But there are hundreds of cigarettes. So don't let that fool you. This is not going to stop people from smoking in the parks. You're going to have to figure out enforcement, and that is going to be a nightmare. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next folks, please.
The last two who signed up are Steve Entwistle Sr. and David Loftus.
Okay, and anyone else who hasn't signed up, feel welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Entwistle, Sr. I'm a founder of the Healing Man Sanctuary, representing Individuals for Justice, 100 Million Friends, and I'm also a whistleblower for the less fortunate. Okay. And a 55-year resident of Portland. I was born here. I've been going up to that park, up in these parks, since about 1962. I am not a tobacco fan. Okay. In fact, I guess you would call me a tobacco-free smoker. This isn't about tobacco as much as it is about the rights of the individual being taken away and targeted. All hostilities towards the less fortunate, confrontations from zero tolerance policies such as these will increase negative contacts with park goers and add to security demand, which will also cost a lot of money. But this should not be about building up a police state in our parks. We have the safest parks in the nation, if not in the world. And to say that we need to add a whole bunch of security and make them dangerous because we got guys chasing around smokers, the rangers chasing around all day and having confrontations with them and seeing if they're inclusions and seeing if they got this and that on them. And well, I got a question for you. Let's say somebody's up there and it's in the middle of wintertime, and he's got his hand by his mouth and he blows out some condensation and the park ranger thinks he's smoking. Okay, that gives him an excuse to go and search this guy down. Now, that's a point probably you haven't heard about. Also, there's some folks up there that are Vietnam veterans that like to go up there and smoke a joint once in a while, like especially a week before the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Now you're going to criminalize them. That's not right. I know some of these folks. Another thing is, in Europe, the difference between the rangers in Europe and the rangers here, you know what they are? the Rangers in Europe, they wear a really bright outfit so that everybody can see where they're at and see them coming from a long ways in case they need them. The Rangers here, we have camouflage. One more point. We should make our Rangers wear fluorescent pink so that we can see them coming from a long way. So that way there won't be any confrontation. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is David Loftus. I've been a 24-year resident of Portland. I was born in Eugene, came of age in Coos Bay. I'm a freelance wordsmith, actor, model. I also work part-time as a customer service rep for the Portland Streetcar, and I guide Portland walking tours, which part of which its route takes its route through the South Park block. So I see the city, well, I work in several jobs as an ambassador of Portland, and I see the city as visitors to the city often see it. And I'm speaking in support of this measure because, well, I see it as almost a tactical thing because it's tough to catch people littering. And having lived a block off the South Park blocks for 10 years, I've lived in Museum Place for 10 years as of July, I see that just although the I tangled with the Oregonian editorialist last year, I submitted a letter to the editor in support of this measure, and the Oregonian printed it as a guest editorial with a rebuttal, so I guess I got them where they live. He said everybody litters, and from my observation, that's not the case. Most of us grew up learning not to litter, and I, from my observation, the people who litter in the parks tend to be from out of town. They tend to be visitors. They tend to be homeless and vagrants and folks who are doing other things in the park. But the people who drop cigarette butts come from all walks of life. I see my neighbors who live in the buildings along the park blocks grinding them out and leaving them on the street. I see business people, I see all kinds of people. For some reason, smokers seem to think that they are exempt from littering laws. And it's tough to catch people littering, but it's not hard to catch them smoking. And I see this measure as partly a tactical move because I have not seen local law enforcement able to budge the drug dealers from Szymanski Park and the first couple of blocks of the South Parks. And they're having more and more difficulty with street people who are camping on the South Park blocks or hang out on for a long time. I've been doing battle directly with skateboarders who leap on the peace chant sculpture. All of these people, at least some of them, smoke. And it's tough to catch them doing a lot of the other things they do, whether it's doing a drug deal or littering or jumping on the sculpture, even though there are posted signs saying no skateboarding in the park blocks. Now, previous spokespeople have talked about a police state and needing more enforcement and coming down hard on people. We know that there is wiggle room, that folks will get a lot of leeway during the education period and even during the enforcement period. But this gives you another tool that I'm hoping will mean we'll get more policing the park blocks to go after people who are up to much worse things than smoking. And gradually, I hope that the rest of the smokers will stop dumping butts on the block instead of taking those extra few steps to a garbage can, because there's one on every block. But I see piles of butts next to the benches, on the walkways, within easy reach. And most of the smokers I met don't seem to know, understand, or know about portable ashtrays. They haven't investigated them, but you can buy them at any richest cigar store. So I'm very much in favor of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Anyone else like to speak? Then this will be, council discussion before we move on.
Warren, could you come back and, Mr. Abate, you could just address the question of parks exclusions. If somebody's excluded, are they excluded from one park or from all parks?
All right. Thank you. At the director's request, I'll handle this one. My name is Harry Auerbach. I'm from the city attorney's office. First thing about the Rangers. The direct answer to your question, Commissioner, is under our code, if a person commits a violation of the law in a park, that person is subject to exclusion only from that park. Our rangers are not armed. They don't carry handcuffs. They don't search people, and they don't arrest them or issue criminal citations. None of that's going to change under this ordinance. Technically, any violation of the city code is an unclassified misdemeanor, although the maximum penalty is 6 months and a small fine. In reality, it's very rare for anybody to get any actual jail time for violating any city code provision, although for some of the more serious ones, I believe they get some.
Do you know if we've ever issued a misdemeanor citation for smoking in the current smoke-free zones?
As far as I know, we have not. I'm not aware of any time in which that has been done. My understanding is that the plan that the Bureau and its rangers have for this program is pretty much mirrors what the folks at Pioneer Courthouse Square have been doing ever since we've made it first by rule and later by code unlawful to smoke in that park, which is approaching people and educating them and gaining voluntary compliance. Much as we try to do with all of our code provisions, we rely on the public to voluntarily comply with them because we don't have enough police officers to enforce every provision of our law everywhere throughout the city, and we don't have enough rangers to enforce every provision of the code that you've got on the books now. We do the best we can with what we've got and rely on education and voluntary compliance for successful implementation of your programs.
Thank you. Anything else that either of you would like to add?
I don't think so, Commissioner.
I just remind my colleagues that when we did the off-leash dog area, not the off-leash dogs appropriation for the rangers to be able to issue citations and fines, we did that by separate ordinance. We have no intention of coming to council with any kind of suggestion that we're going to empower rangers to issue tickets or written warnings, those kinds of things.
Okay. Commissioner, that reminds me of another question I had, which is, have you considered the option of simply requiring that all smokers be on leash?
We would then have to have off-leash areas, and that's problematic too.
Other questions for staff before we conclude? So this is a first reading. It will be back for council discussion and a vote next week.
And if I just want to close by thanking my staff and everybody who's been involved in this discussion. I think it's been a very productive and constructive one. I was a nurse at OHSU when OHSU went smoke-free first with inside and then campus-wide, and we had a lot of these same discussions about how people would manage. In fact, it's turned out very well. And as Commissioner Novick and I were discussing with relation to the University of Oregon campus rules, Autzen Stadium is entirely smoke-free, and it does not seem to have stopped people going to duck football games. So there's many other events and sporting events within our city. PGE Park was mentioned, Providence Park, where people are gathered and manage to not smoke for hours at a time. And I don't see this as a draconian measure at all. I see it as something that would promote healthy parks and healthy behaviors for the children and adults who are in our parks. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. So this moves to second reading, and we are recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m. Okay.
Interesting. Thank you.